Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 19th day of June, 2021. Welcome to those that are joining us on the recording or listening on the phone or here in the room, and glad to have you all in fellowship with us today. Got one announcement before we get into our service, and that announcement is this next coming Sabbath, which will be the 26th of June, we'll be having foot washing and communion service. So this next Sabbath, please come prepared for foot washing and communion. Look forward to seeing you, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is titled, Are You Washed in the Blood? It's a question we each need to ask ourselves and recognize that it's not just once that it needs to occur. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. It's a personal question, dear ones. are you washed in the blood of Jesus that was shed for you? If not, I pray that you will make that decision soon. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy love, mercy, kindness, watchful care, and for sending Jesus to be the Lamb of God that taketh away our sins, that spilt his blood to wash us clean, and to give us a change of garments, that we might have white robes that are spotless, characters that can become cleansed from all sin, from all filth, and be pure white. We pray that thy presence will continue to be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well. And please, Spirit, remove all distractions, remove all barriers, that we might be able to clearly understand the truths that are going to be shared today from the Word of God. Shut Satan out of our midst. Keep him at bay, so that the truth as it is in Jesus may reign supreme, especially in our hearts. Help us to see the reality of this day and hour, that we might be earnest with our salvation, that we might recognize the questions that are of eternal interest to us, and know the answers that should be given, and where we are, how far we may be from where we would like to be. Thank you, Father, that probation has not yet closed, that there's still time to get ready, still time to make sure we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. I pray that you'll be with those that were not able to attend today, and that you will please grant them a wonderful Sabbath rest. Bring them back into fellowship soon. If they need to hear this sermon, then please impress them with the need of listening to the recording at a later date. And thank you for the great privilege of being able to gather together from various parts of the world into one place, and to have these meetings recorded and put online so that the messages are not lost, but can be listened to and benefited at a future date. And thank you for the great privilege and honor of knowing thee, and coming ever closer to thee. I pray that you'll especially be with those that are sick, suffering, sorrowing, sad, despondent, discouraged. Please uplift the Savior before them and Savior, bring healing relief to their minds, to their bodies, or to their spirit. And out of gratitude for the deliverance, let them recognize that you are their only hope of being delivered from everlasting death and instead gain everlasting life. Thank you so much for doing so, and thank you, dear Godhead, for being in our midst. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And the sermon for today is titled, Buried to be Raised. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID23.htm. So lightministries.com, ID23.htm. And if you look at quote number one, our opening text is from Romans 6, verses 4 to 5. Buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what these verses are telling us is that baptism into death must occur before you can be raised up from the dead and walk in the newness of life. But just how is baptism to be performed? And why must anyone become baptized in the first place? Are there any consequences if we choose not to be baptized? And we're going to find the answers to these questions and other questions as well in this sermon today. So first of all, what is baptism? And if you look at quote number two, in Hebrews 6:2, God's word tells us this, of the doctrine of baptisms. So this verse reveals to us that baptism is a doctrine of God's church. But under whose authority and power was this doctrine of baptism given in the first place? In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 19, we're told, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. So this reveals to us that the doctrine of baptism was given under the absolute infinite authority and power of the Lord God Jesus Christ himself. So this means that baptism is a true doctrine which all of God's followers are to hold to and follow. So just how important is it to become baptized? If it's a doctrine that Christ gave, how important is it to follow? You look at quote number three. In Mark 16, verses 15 to 16. And he, referring to Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In 1 Peter 3:20-22. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So these verses show us that this doctrine of baptism is directly connected with our salvation. But how can baptism possibly save us? Look at quote number four. In Mark 1 verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. In Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now there's nothing in the water itself that can really wash away our sins. Only the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. So we see that baptism with water is actually a symbol indicating that all of our repentant sins have been washed away and forgiven by God through the blood, merits, and righteousness of Jesus Christ. But even though baptism by water is a symbol of our sins being washed away, yet it is also a doctrine of truth that the Lord God Jesus himself commanded all of his people to follow and obey. So this then means that if someone has an opportunity to become baptized, but yet they persistently choose not to do so, then they cannot be saved because they have rejected their Lord's command as well as his authority over them. So even though baptism by water is a symbol of our sins being washed away through Jesus Christ, yet it is also something that we must perform because Christ commands us to. In Luke 7, verses 29 to 30, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And in 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, if we follow his command and are baptized, then we have both the Father and the Son. But if we reject the counsel of God against ourselves and are not baptized, then we cannot be saved. We have not the Father or the Son. So then as baptism is very integral to our salvation, then how is it to be performed? If you look at quote number five, in Matthew 3 verse 11, I, referring to John the Baptist, indeed baptize you with water. In Matthew 28 verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So these verses reveal to us that there's actually two steps involved in being baptized. The first is with the water that the person is baptized with. And the second is that the words that are spoken while being baptized. So there's two steps, the water and then the words. Now regarding the water, the Greek word to baptize or be baptized is baptismo. And this Greek word translates and means to make whelmed or fully wet. So like to overwhelm or become fully wet. And this is from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 907. Now this word, baptizo, is derived from the word bapto. And this word translates and means to whelm or cover wholly with a fluid or to dip. And that's Strong's word number 911. So this word baptize itself means to make a person fully wet or overwhelmed or dip and cover them wholly and completely with a fluid. And we know that this fluid, in the case of baptism, is water. In John 3:23, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So there was enough water in Enon in order to baptize the people by fully covering them over with water. Now, does the Bible allow any variations on how someone is to be baptized with water? And the answer is no. In Ephesians 4:5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So since there's only one real Lord Jesus Christ, and there's only one real faith of Christ, then there is only one real way to baptize, and that is by fully dipping or completely immersing a person underwater. So this means that if someone was only partially dipped in water, or if someone was only sprinkled with water, or if someone only had water placed on them, but were never fully immersed, then they were not correctly baptized according to the one and only true doctrine of baptism. And this means their baptism is invalid and unacceptable to the Lord regarding their salvation. Now, what kind of water is to be used when we're baptized? In Mark 1:5 and verse 9, we're told that John baptized in the fresh waters of the river of Jordan. But in 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 and 2, it says that the children of Israel were all baptized unto Moses in the sea. So this then reveals to us that it doesn't matter whether it is fresh water or salt water that we're baptized in. Because all that is required for a proper baptism to occur is that enough water is found to allow a person to be fully dipped or immersed or overwhelmed with that water. So we've seen that a person is to be fully immersed underwater when being baptized. But what words are to be spoken during their baptism? Continuing in quote number 5. From Matthew 28:19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So baptizing them in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three names, not just one. But some believe that you're to be baptized only in the name of Jesus. But let's see if the Bible says that this is really something good to follow or not. Baptism is similar to a covenant or a contract that you're making with the God being named during your baptism. So you're basically promising God that you will be obedient and faithful to live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, which is Deuteronomy 8:3. And in like manner, God is promising you to be your God and to help you in every time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. So then by being baptized only in the name of Jesus, would signify that you are now directly connected with Christ and he with you. And this one connection gives only the Lord God Jesus Christ your permission to directly work in your behalf against Lucifer or Satan, and allows only Christ the ability to utilize any and all divine power and heavenly resources at his command necessary to help you in this warfare. So being baptized in the name of Jesus only allows Jesus permission to help you, because you've only formed a contract or a covenant with him. But since Jesus is just one of the three gods that compose the Godhead, then being baptized only in the name of Jesus means that you are not directly connected in contract or covenant with either God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. And this further shows that they do not have your permission to directly work in your life. You haven't formed a contract with them. And thus you risk not having their divine power to help you combat Satan. And dear ones, this particular unfortunate situation actually occurred with some early Christian believers, and is recorded in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these verses tell us that because those in Samaria were baptized only in the name of the Lord God Jesus Christ, then they did not yet have God the Holy Spirit's power working in their lives. They hadn't yet formed that contract with the Holy Spirit. So I hope you can now see why it's not wise to be baptized only in the name of Jesus. And I hope you can also see why Jesus commanded to become baptized in the name of all three gods in the Godhead. It is so that you would then be directly connected in contract, in covenant with all three gods, and they with you. And so all three now would have your permission to work directly in your life against Lucifer and all his evil angels that are trying to get you to sin. So since there are three gods in the Godhead, Jesus tells you to be baptized in the name of all three and not just one, so that all three will be able to help you in every time of your needs. So we're to be baptized in the name of all three. But who are you being baptized into? If you look at quote number 6. In Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? In Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Of course, that body is Christ. So all of these verses tell us that after being baptized in the name of the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that you're not being baptized into any denomination. You're not being baptized into any church group. You're not being baptized into any particular creed, but you're being baptized into Jesus Christ. And thus you become part of his body. And by becoming part of the body of Christ, you immediately become part of his true church on the earth. So this true doctrine of baptism reveals to us that you do not become part of Christ's true church by being baptized into some denomination. You do not become part of Christ's body by being baptized into a church group or any religious organization. But you instead become part of Christ's body and true church by being baptized into Jesus Christ. So then who can be baptized? If you look at quote number 7, in Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. This verse reveals that both males and females can be baptized into the Lord. So then when can someone be baptized? If you look at quote number 8 from Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Also in Acts 8, verses 36 to 38. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now these verses reveal to us that before someone can be baptized, they must first be taught the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And then they must also believe with all of their heart and intelligently consent to follow these truths. And after being baptized, they're still to continue to be taught and to continue to learn more of the truths that Christ gave us in his word. They're just not to remain content with the truth they knew that allowed them to be baptized, but they're continue to grow further in knowledge and understanding of God's word. So this also reveals that you do not need to know all of the truths that are contained in God's word before you can be baptized. But you have to know enough of the pillars of the faith in Christ Jesus before you can be baptized. And then afterwards, you're to continue to learn more of these truths. So then, just how old do you need to be before you can be baptized? Continuing in quote number 8, from Acts 16, verses 14 to 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized, and her household. In Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. In Acts 16, verse 32 to 34. And they spake unto him, or the jailer, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. These verses reveal to us that all those who were in the household of Lydia, Crispus, and the jailer were baptized because they heard and believed on the Lord and the truth as it was in Jesus. Now, households are made up of a variety of age groups, including men, women, and children. So these verses reveal to us that it was not just adults who were baptized, but even youth and children as well. So then just how young can someone be baptized? We learn that someone cannot be baptized without first being taught the truth as it is in Jesus, and then personally believing with all their heart and intelligently consenting to follow Christ and these truths. In order to do that, there has to be a level of mental maturity before you can intelligently understand the truth and then consent to follow it. So this reveals that there's a certain threshold or level of maturity that needs to occur before someone can be a candidate for baptism. And as soon as this level of mental maturity has been reached, and they can personally consent to do all of these necessary things for themselves, then at that time, they can be baptized irregardless of what age this threshold of mental maturity occurs at. Now, obviously, infants and young children cannot be baptized because their mental abilities are incapable of meeting this threshold or minimum level of maturity. And there are even some adults that would fail to meet the same minimum level due to mental conditions that prevent them from understanding the truth and consenting to follow it. And this is why the Bible does not set a specific age at which someone can or cannot be baptized. because the conditions for someone being baptized are not dealing with how old they are, but it is dealing with their level of mental maturity and capability of understanding and committing. Now, when should someone be rebaptized? And yes, the Bible does talk about rebaptism. If you look at quote number 9, in Acts 19, verses 1 to 6. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now you will notice that these disciples were not followers of Jesus Christ, but they were followers of John. So this meant that the only truths they knew were those truths that were limited to John, and thus they were unaware of the significantly greater truths that were connected with and through Jesus Christ. So when they learned these greater truths that were connected with Christ, then they were re-baptized. So this shows us that when someone hears and accepts significantly greater truths than what they knew previously that led them to be baptized, then they need to be re-baptized into these greater truths. Now, for instance, let's say that you were baptized when you were a Sunday keeper. Baptized into the Nazarene or the Catholic or whatever. And then afterward you discover and accept the significantly greater truths about God's seventh day Sabbath being on Saturday and that Christ is the Lord of this Sabbath. So you've gone from accepting the truths as a Sunday keeper to now accepting the greater truths and becoming a Sabbath keeper. In accepting these significantly greater truths, you would need to seriously consider becoming rebaptized into the greater truth of the seventh day Sabbath. So this is what the Bible has to say regarding baptism, being buried so that you can be raised. But baptism is just the beginning of your walk with the Lord. It's not the end of your walk. It's just the beginning of the gospel race. It's not the finish line. So after you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've been baptized into his body, you're to continue walking with him, growing more and more like him, learning more and more truths about him until you become complete in Jesus. And then finally cross that gospel finish line and receive the crown of life. Look at quote number 10. from Colossians 3, 1 to 3, 5 to 10, and 12 to 16. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, you've been buried with Christ and now you've risen in baptism, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify or kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So after you've been buried and have risen with Christ from baptism, you're to continue to grow. In other words, deny the lusts of your flesh and become like Christ. Continuing. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Baptism is just the beginning of your walk with Christ. And what a glorious beginning it is. And what further glory awaits you as you walk with Christ, growing more into his likeness until the end. Dear ones, may God help all of us who have been buried in baptism and raised to life in Christ Jesus to fully follow the admonition found in Colossians 3, so that we may truly become just like Christ in word, practice, life, and character. And for those of us who are not yet baptized, but who desire to be buried, please feel free to contact me, and let us see what we can do to allow you also to become buried with Christ and raised with him, and to join with the rest of his redeemed on this one straight, narrow, upward pathway that leads to eternal life. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and hath redeemed us unto God. What a Savior. Our closing song is titled The Crimson Wave. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream, I see. I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
I see the Redeemer's grace, I hear the speaking blood. It speaks my spirit is amazed and quickened by its blood. The cleansing stream I see. I cleanse it out, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
I rise to walk in God's own light, above the world and sin, with heart renewed and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream I see. I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. Praise the Lord, dear ones, that Christ has given his life, shed his blood to enable us to be cleansed, to have our hearts renewed, our garments changed into white, righteous garments, and to have Christ enthroned in our heart, and the old man or old woman experience crucified. What a privilege it is to be buried with the Lord, to be raised with him, and to walk with him into eternal life. Thank you, Father, for developing the plan, and thank you, Savior, for carrying it out, and thank you, Spirit, for impressing it on our hearts. May we truly die and be buried that we might be raised to walk with Christ forevermore. Please join with me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but uplifting Jesus before us as a way of escape from the penalty of sin, which is everlasting death. Thank you, Savior, for carrying out this plan, becoming human like me and others. Living a life in submission and obedience to God's word. Dying an innocent man. And then providing your life for me and others to be hid in. And to have all of our sins washed by your precious blood. If we will just recognize you as our Savior, the truth that you are indeed the Son of God, the Messiah of the world, and be willing to acknowledge this in baptism. And not just to go through the ceremony and then consider ourselves saved. But to recognize the importance of this ceremony and allow it to be fulfilled in our lives, dead to self, that we might be raised to life in Christ Jesus, and then follow that goal to be like Christ throughout the rest of our life. Thank you for the grace and strength that enables this change, this renewal of heart to occur. Not just once, but every morning afresh. Help our goal to be, not I that live, but Christ lives in me each day. And thank you, Spirit, for being a comforter to help us when trials and temptations are severe. And that you keep pointing us to Jesus as our source of strength, courage, hope, life. And thank you, Savior, that we're baptized into your body. Not a church that's controlled by councils of men, not a group that's led by a particular person or committee, not into some religious organization that's been around for hundreds of years or even decades, but we're baptized into you, the truth that never changes. It's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Something that we can trust that's never going to deceive us. Help us indeed to grow more and more into your likeness, into your image. Help us to always open the door of our heart to let you in. And never ask you to leave. Help us to indeed be the children of the Most High. And no longer the children of the wicked one. Thank you for making this all possible through your crimson cleansing blood and life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us unto God through his precious blood. Please don't forget, dear ones, that this next Sabbath, the 26th, is going to be foot washing and communion. Looking forward to that and your fellowship. Are there any comments or questions, testimonies, thoughts, songs, requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time? Please go right ahead.
I had a question, you know, for a long time, and that was, what did John the Baptist baptize to? And as I was talking to my sister, that's when you started to read it. And I said, praise God that I was able to hear that. And now I can be able to share this particular study with the with the individual that I was telling you about, that she lives in Florida and she was worried about her family. So now everything that is in the study goes in more detail, where the question that she has is well clear and answered. Thank you so much, dear Brother Bob, for the sermon. It was well received.
You're welcome, dear sister, and praise the Lord for making his word so crystal clear and for giving us his word and preserving it all of these millennia. What a wonderful God we serve, dear ones.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Savior, let thy kingdom come. Now the power of shame consume. Bring thy blessed millennium, holy Lamb. Thus may we each moment feel, love him, serve him, praise him still, till we all on Zion's hill see the Lamb. Glory, hallelujah, praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother and sister. Very appropriate. Worthy is the Lamb, indeed. Here's another hymn. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the mountains, cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing you islands of the sea, echo back you ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves, singing triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nation now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. I'll put it in the room here. Just one second. Jesus paid it all is the request. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Lord, now in thee I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank you, Savior. Dear ones, are there any other songs or requests, comments, testimonies, questions that you'd like to bring forth? Please go right ahead. God's richest blessings to you also, dear sister. I'm looking forward to the next time we're in fellowship together. And the same with all of you, dear ones. May God's blessings be showered upon you. not just on the remaining part of the Sabbath, but in this new week as well. And until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
We love you, Sister Joan. Love you.
Love you too. So good.
Love you, Ma.
So good to fellowship with you.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye, daughter.
Adios, familia caray. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you.
Bye. Happy Sabbath.